Welcome to High Ticket Woman, the podcast for Christian women who are relationship challenged, and they know that to make changes, it starts with them wanting more, expecting more, and becoming more. Here's your host, Debbie Cottle.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of High Ticket Woman. This is Debbie Cottle, your host. I'm super excited because today I have a guest on the podcast, Sabrina Starling, Dr. Sabrina Starling, I should say. I've known Sabrina for a number of years. Sabrina was actually my very first business coach way back when. Sabrina Starling, she's got a ton of initials behind her name, so I'll just say that. She is known as the business psychologist, and she is an international best-selling author of the book, How to Hire the Best and the 4-Week Vacation. She's also the founder of tapthepotential.com and host of her own podcast, of course, called Profit by Design. She and her team coach entrepreneurs to take their lives back from their businesses. I think I need to hire her again. And she promotes the concept that work supports life, not the other way around. Amen. So she and her team are on a mission to send 10,000 entrepreneurs on a 4-week vacation in 10 years. Okay. Yeah, I definitely need that. All right, Sabrina, welcome to the High Ticket Woman. I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm looking forward to our conversation. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is definitely going to be fun because we've known each other a long time. So we've got a little bit of history here. It's always exciting to me when I get to shut up and let somebody who has their own area of expertise talk about what it means to be high ticket. So let me start with asking you that. I mean, this podcast is all about being a high ticket woman, which is my sort of take on, you know, being high value. What does that mean to you, that whole concept?
Wow. So I just was thinking about this the other day, and I was listening to another podcast. Imagine that. Us podcasters, we really like to listen to podcasts. And it was an expert talking about how crippling perfectionism can be in our lives. And I was reflecting on where I was as a teenager and in college, and boy, did I have perfectionism strong. And I look at that and I see that it was directly related to a lack of self-confidence. And now 30 something years later, I was just reflecting on my growth and my journey and how I have come to value myself. And there's lots of opportunities that life gives us to value ourselves and learn these lessons the hard way. And so for me, when I think about being a high ticket woman, it means I value myself. I value my contributions in the world. I pay attention to the impact that what I'm doing, the small things that I'm doing that make a difference in other people's lives. Walking through the airport the other day, I hate traveling. I hate it. I got to the airport and I thought, you know what? I'm going to be here in this airport and a few others for the next 8 hours. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to smile at everybody and I'm going to say hi to people. And, you know, and it's just, that's high ticket woman. It's looking at how do I create value and I can make my day brighter and everybody else who's traveling and not enjoying the experience either. And I had it put back at me because somebody else that I ran into the next day, I was kind of in my head thinking about things. And somebody said, you have a beautiful sweater on. I just want to let you know that. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. That just feels so good to be acknowledged.
Yeah. So for you, being high ticket is, it's like, how do you take your gifts and abilities and sort of like express them outwardly to other people? But that sort of sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah. I really believe in being a gift from my gifts. And there are certain things, like I have a huge area of life wisdom and expertise around building a business and, you know, taking your life back from your business. And that's a huge gift that I'm out there sharing in the world on the podcast. But I'm also aware it's just the daily interactions that I have with people where I can show up and be a gift from my gifts, you know, to sit down and just listen to someone. and give them space and airtime to be heard. That's also a way of being a gift mm-hmm. from my gifts. And it doesn't mean that I have to have any special expertise to do that. All of us are capable of doing things yeah, like that.
That's so, so true. I love that saying, being a gift from your gifts. Yeah. But you know, so many women, I think, really struggle to identify their gifts.
Yes.
And there's, you know, this whole concept of imposter syndrome. I see this showing up, and I'm sure, you know, when you work with entrepreneurs, you see this showing up, but I even see it showing up in like women's personal relationships. Can you speak to that whole imposter syndrome thing a little bit?
Yeah. Boy, I've had that in yeah. lots of different areas in my life. And I remember when I started my business as a coach, and I had been in graduate school training as a psychologist. I'd been working in community mental health, and I was strong in that area. Like, that just came easy to me. And I remember being a new coach and looking at my mentor coaches who'd been in the field for 10 years already at that point. And I thought, oh, wow, I hope one day I can be as good as them. And I still had to get out there and coach. And I felt like that imposter. I felt like, I don't know what I'm doing. And anytime we start something new, we have a learning curve. And, you know, if we can just have beginner mindset, then we don't have to have imposter syndrome, and we can just acknowledge we're beginners. I was at UPS the other day, and I was in a hurry, and I got the guy who was in training, and oh my gosh, it took so long. But at the end, I just said, you know, good luck with your training. I know it's hard the first day. And he said, yes, it's really hard. And, you know, he acknowledged he was new. He wasn't trying to pretend that he was, you know, a 5-year employee there and knew what he was doing. And I think sometimes we just need to all acknowledge, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm learning every day. And when we can approach our work and our lives with that beginner mindset and that mindset of curiosity, I think it helps us overcome that imposter syndrome. And when we make mistakes, to own them, and just say, hey, I messed up. I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to fix this, but just own it. And then we don't have to, when we have imposter syndrome, sometimes we feel like we have to hide those mistakes and we have shame. There's no need for that. It's not healthy. It drags us down. When we just own our mistakes, we can go forward.
Don't you think that so much of the time, part of the reason why we as women struggle with this is because we're busy comparing ourselves to other women, or, you know, just people in general?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's when we're comparing ourselves and feeling like other people are comparing us or judging us because we're not measuring up, it's not productive. It's not healthy. It keeps us from enjoying life and being in the moment.
I think, going back to what you said about having a beginner mindset, like that's actually sort of, it excites me when I have to learn something new. Instead of being fearful and intimidated by that, part of that beginner mindset, I think, and it applies so much to relationships, which we'll tie in here in a second. That beginner mindset for me is this, I see it as an opportunity. I don't know how to do this yet, mm-hmm. but I'm going to learn. And every time I take a step forward, I know a little bit more. And at some point, what seems difficult right now seems a little bit scary compared to the people out there who've been doing this for forever, and they have a great flow to it. Eventually, I'm going to be there also. I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to go, piece of cake.
Yeah. And I think we have the opportunity to put ourselves in situations where we get to be beginners, and it helps us deal with this. I went and did pottery with my daughter a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, she's pretty good at it. She's only done it a couple times, but I was totally brand new. And my little vase was falling and wobbly and breaking and, you know, just not working. And I just stuck with it and thought, wow, you know, I have an opportunity to learn, and this is really fun. And when we can see our progress and see, okay, you know, this time I'm a little better at it, and this time it came out better than the first time. So what did I learn here? and just enjoying that process of building the competence rather than coming at it from the perspective of I'm not competent and I can't let anybody know. I need to hide and cover this up, which just, it drains energy from us.
Absolutely. Tying this into relationships then, you know, because your work is very much about the business end of things. And you know what's interesting? This is actually something I really wanted to ask you about. So maybe we'll start here. I find that professional women, I work with a lot of professional women who know how to be very competent in their businesses or in their jobs. I mean, they compete with men and they show up with men every day. They know how to make presentations. They've done the corporate thing for a while, or they've got very successful careers going, but their personal life is in shambles.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there? Why is it that it seems, at least for me, that women struggle in their personal lives, but in their professional lives, they're excelling?
This is going on. I don't think it's a women and men thing. I think it's women and men have this issue. High achievers across the board. Mm. It's easy to experience career success because there are clearly defined things that you need to do to be successful. And we learn those and we high achievers go off and we do those things. In relationships, to when we're not succeeding in our relationships and our personal life, it's easy to throw ourselves into the career and have more success in the career. Meanwhile, personal relationships suffer. So in my business at Tap the Potential, we have the Better Business, Better Life program. And one of the things we're known for is that we help business owners have that balanced life, not perfect balance, because there is no such thing, but to really balance out success in your personal life along with success in the business, because nobody is happy when they have a successful business or a successful career, but their relationships are suffering.
So that holistic perspective of, you know, across all aspects of your life, let's make sure that you're where you want to be. So you've had your own, you know, as a woman, you've been through divorce and now you're remarried, and you know, you and I have that in common. Was there ever a time when your own sense of value and, you know, personally was impacted in a negative way as you went through that divorce?
Well, not as I went through the divorce. As I went through the divorce, my value went up because I just embraced, like, this is my life and I get to create it the way I want it to be. It was a very fun place to be. Stressful, but fun. Mm-hmm. But before the divorce, I didn't want people to know what was going on in my personal life. So I was trying to hide things and cover it up and, you know, keep it all like everything's okay here. Meanwhile, I was really struggling. And I remember, because I work with a lot of men, and I remember just being in conversations with men who were in healthy relationships with their wives and thinking, wow, there's men out there like that. They really exist. That's amazing. And that's where I started to get really reflect on what was going on in my relationship and think about, I'm not being valued here. I'm not being honored. This isn't working. And when I could label that and say, you know, it's that the other person in this relationship is not valuing me, not honoring me, that helped me start to shift and make the changes that I needed to start making. But, you know, when we stay in relationships, and I was just having a conversation with our lead strategist on our team yesterday about this, that when I was going through my divorce, I didn't have role models out there of other professional women who were divorcing or had been divorced and were doing it while raising kids and having a successful career. Like, I looked around, I remember having a coach at the time, and I said to him, I don't see anybody in my world who is three steps ahead on this path. I feel like I'm the only one. And so the conversation I was having with our lead strategist is a client of ours is going through a divorce, and we have other women in the last 5 years that are clients who have been in long-term relationships, marriages, and who have gotten divorced. And it's taken a long time for them to get there, and they've moved on and created a better life, and, you know, they're enjoying life. And I think it's that sense of, I'm here, I've made this decision, I've made this lifelong commitment, I'm supposed to be in this, no matter how bad it is. And I think the more we start talking as women about, no, you're not supposed to be in a bad situation where you're not being honored and respected, that is not an expectation of you. You can let that go and just have that, the permission that that's okay. And you can step out and you can make a life where the people around you do respect you and honor you.
There can be a stigma around divorce, especially for Christians. Mm-hmm. Did you struggle with that before you made the decision? Yeah. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. I believe like marriage is for life, and that's a commitment that I made. And I took it very, very seriously. And I, you know, well, very well, Debbie, I pulled out all the stops to make sure I was working on myself and doing what I could. Yeah. And it didn't matter. And that's, and I think I needed to go through that to give myself permission that, okay, you can move on here. But yes, that is that, that Christian belief. And then feeling like, especially if we have people around us who have been in long-term marriages, and, you know, it looks like, and you, the truth is, you never know what's going on in someone else's marriage. You can look at a relationship and think everything is beautiful and sunshine and roses.
Especially on social media.
On social media, right. And so I let that hold me back too, because I thought everybody else is making this work. I need to figure this out.
Yeah. So much of the time, I think what I hear is fear disguised in all these sort of justifications that we make within ourselves. Yes. I'm staying because of the kids, or I'm staying because it's what God wants me to do, or I'm staying because, you know, dot, dot, dot. There's any number of justifications that we might give, when in reality, there is a fear. There's a fear of disappointing people. There's a fear of that stigma. There's a fear of starting over again, a fear of the financial aspects of divorce. There's so many reasons why we might be afraid. And one of the things that I really want women to understand about placing value on themselves is that we can be afraid, but we still have to move forward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I want to, there's so much in what you just said that I could comment on. The fear of, you know, what will it do to the kids?
Yeah.
One of the most impactful things that a friend said to me is, what are you teaching your daughters about relationships when they're seeing you being treated this way? Mm-hmm. That was eye-opening. And then the other part about just the fear of change and the fear of being out there on your own. I will tell you, I was a single mother with a 4-month-old baby and a 7-year-old daughter. That was hard. I mean, and that baby didn't sleep through the night until she was over almost 2 years old. Oh, wow. I was sleep deprived, and I was doing I had a 3-acre place. I was doing everything on my own. Mm-hmm. And there were times where I was totally overwhelmed. And I remember telling myself, Sabrina, you just got to take that next step forward and the next step and the next step. And I got through it. And I look back, I don't ever want to go through that again. That was hard. But I look back at that and I learned how strong I was. I didn't know how strong I was.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like a broken record. Okay. And I think that metaphor is outdated. I don't know. Maybe records are coming back, but I feel like it's broken record saying this to women over and over again. Like, we grow through our struggles. Yes. We don't learn what we're capable of, and we don't get that mental resilience by just you know, taking the easy way out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think about the lessons that I've learned about myself and life. You know, you don't go through something hard and then all of a sudden life is sunshine and roses. There's more hard stuff ahead. And every time I've had a challenge since then, I always go back and I say, well, this is hard, but it's nothing like that. And if I got through that, I know I can figure this out.
Being able to link it back to something that you've already gone through.
Yeah.
What was your journey back to finding love again? And I'll tell on myself to our listeners today. This is our second time to record this because of my technical mistake that I made not downloading this in time. So you told this amazing story about finding your husband that you're married to now online.
Yeah.
And I really want you to share this story again. So
okay,
how did you meet? Because I work with so many women who hate online dating, men too, for that matter. Like everybody hates these online dating platforms, but everybody uses them. Yeah. You have a different story.
Yeah. So I think I need to preface this story by sharing a story about me when I was in my 20s and I was in graduate school and I took a course on marriage and family and it was relationships. And it was, they studied people who were got married and it was like the 17-year longitudinal study. And part of our grade in the course was based on how accurately we predicted who would stay together and who wouldn't. I was the only one who predicted with complete accuracy all the couples. And what I learned and what I did is I learned that it's the values and interests that really matter, that when people were aligned there, things seemed to work out no matter what challenges they faced. And so interestingly, I was in this marriage where my values were not aligned with my spouse.
No,
so I could see clearly where things were not going or why it wasn't working. And so I was single for 5 years before I tried dating. I didn't want to date. I was happy. I mean, you know, my girls were getting older. Things were getting easier. I was getting more time to myself and I was really just doing the things I love to do and marching to the beat of my own drum. And then I remember one evening at supper, my oldest daughter said to me, "You know, Mom, when are you going to date again?" And I said, "Oh, you know, when my youngest is in high school or, you know, going to college, because you girls need me." And, you know, and my oldest daughter said, "You're going to be really old." And she said, "You know, there's not going to be that many men left at that point, Mom. You're not going to have much to pick from." And wow. I thought, oh my gosh, she's right. And I didn't take action on it, but they went to go stay with their father for Christmas break. And I had a lot of free time on my hands. And I started reflecting on that. And I was like, you know, it might be kind of nice to have somebody to go out to eat with or to talk about things with. Maybe I'm ready. And so I dipped, I mean, literally put my toe, my little tip of my big toe in the water. And I signed up on a dating site. And I looked at over the next day or two, I looked at all the responses I got on that dating site and I got scared because it's awful out there in the online dating world.
Oh yeah.
And so I got pretty strategic and I went looking, I did a little bit of research and I looked up which dating sites had the best results with matches and people getting married. And the ones that tend to have the better results are because they're looking at personality profiles, values, and common interests and matching people in that way. And I went to a site where I paid more to be on that site. And I think that was key because if it's free to be on the site or very low cost, anybody can be on that site and you're going to encounter a lot. And so when I created my profile the second time around, I had gone through a lot of men's profiles. And I had paid attention to the ones that I was drawn to. Like, what were they saying that made me think I might reach out to them? And so when I created my profile, that's how I wrote my profile. I talked about my values and my interests and how I want to spend time. But there was also this kind of future pacing. And what that is I had seen this guy talk about, when we're together, we're going to be doing this and this and this. And like, I could almost see myself like, in that with him. And I thought, that's interesting. I need to write my profile in that way. So that's what I did. And so My husband, who I've since married, I had seen his profile on this site. He had said something that I thought was really nice. And I put a little, you know, heart or whatever mark next to it. He didn't respond for a month. And I just moved on. I was like, whatever, going on with my life. I didn't give it another thought. And then he did respond and we started messaging each other. We hit it off right away. This was during COVID. We went on a date when the country was shutting down. The restaurant we chose and had reservations at, by the time we got there, it was shut down. So we ended up at this barbecue restaurant in Texarkana. And he and I both have this very vivid memory of bleach and barbecue because they were bleaching the tables and we were trying to eat barbecue and it was just awful.
Not a good combination.
But we hit it off. We had lots of conversation and it was just this natural alignment. And I write about how to hire the best, how to hire A players. And I tease him. I said, I used all my how to hire the best strategies on you. Like I was really looking for someone who had common values and I was paying attention to everything he did. And I have one more funny little story about this that I will share. Because I was a professional woman with children, I was very careful about what someone could learn about me online because I didn't want to endanger my children in any way. And so I used a fake name in my dating profile. And
forgot about that.
As our relationship was starting to really unfold and it was clear to me he was a good person that I was going to meet one day, I was talking with a friend and I was telling her about everything. And she said, "And he thinks your name is Samantha?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "How do you ever plan to have an honest relationship with this man if you won't tell him your real name?" And so I thought, well, yeah, she's right. And so I told him my real name and then I told him why I had not used my real name. But I share that because I do think we women need to be very careful out there in the online dating world, especially when we have young children in the home. There's a lot of considerations.
That's really intriguing for me. I had forgotten that part of your story because was there any pushback from him or like, was he upset initially when you told him that?
No. Okay, he totally, because I was just honest. I said, "I need to tell you something. My name is not Samantha. And here's why." And he did not push back. He said, "I can totally understand." He had been doing online dating, I think probably about a year and a half before he and I connected. And the stories that he tells, I mean, he says, you know, "Sabrina, there's a lot of broken women out there in the world.
Yeah,
and you just don't know when you're on a site who you're going to connect with and what their real story is."
Yeah. I think what you did was amazing, especially from the standpoint of protecting your daughters. I have a guy that I'm working with who, for totally different reasons, was not authentic about his age. He's in his late 40s and he's tried many dating sites and the algorithm seems to bring, if he tells his actual age, it gives him women who are far older than him. And he's tried so many sites and it's the same thing over and over. So he decided that he was going to set up a profile and he gave his age as like, I don't know, 37 or 38 so that he would get in the, because it'll, you put in your profile, "I'm willing to match with women like 5 years younger, 5 years older," because he wanted to test whether the algorithm would actually bring him women his age. Well, sure enough, it did. But the first, so he got matched to a woman, they were chatting online, they seemed to have so many things in common. The moment she found out that he had not been honest about his age, even though he explained to her why he did it, she just completely wrote him off. Like, "You're another one of those guys out there. He's not, you're a liar," you know. And so he just felt extremely burned, even though he had sort of a legit reason for like trying to trick the algorithm.
So what I would say about that is, I want to find somebody who is going to listen to me and understand my perspective yeah. in a conflict. And mm-hmm. it almost sounds like that might have been a happy, you know, first early sign for him that that wasn't going to be a good situation yeah. because she might have, you know, something goes wrong and she's going to shut down and say, oh, that's it. You're out of here. Yeah. You know, that's not how you build a relationship.
Yeah. And the right woman would have understood, mm-hmm. you know, what he, especially if from the very beginning, he had just said, hey, I need to tell you this right up front.
Yeah.
This is why I did it. And hopefully we can continue to have a conversation from here. But I do think the online dating world is sort of, it sort of sets us up to fail. Now, I seem to remember from you telling me this story before, there's one other piece to this. And I think I'm remembering this right. You did not use a glam photo of yourself in your profile, right?
I used it, like I have headshots, but it was not... like I had gone and gotten dressed up or done anything, you know, outrageous. I was the one who did my own makeup and hair that day.
Yeah.
It's the same makeup and hair I do every day. And yeah. there was a professional photograph taken, but it was not a glam shot. It was not like airbrushed and okay. all of that. No.
Okay. It might be somebody else who actually maybe was telling me this, that they actually intentionally posted a picture, and they were another person who was successful with their online dating experience. They intentionally posted a picture of themselves, like just like my everyday look, because they yeah. didn't want any men to match with them, thinking, oh, this glam photo of me is what you're gonna see every single yeah. day, right?
Yeah.
I think that for me that was really interesting to hear. Okay, so just springboarding out of that, then back to this whole high ticket concept, what do you think women are really wanting from men, and why aren't they finding it?
Wow, that is a big question. Yeah. You know, I can speak from my own experience, mm-hmm. and I don't want to avoid generalizing what are women wanting, because I don't know. But from my own experience, I wanted a partner. I wanted yeah. someone who would just be in life with me, mm-hmm. emotionally present and connected. Mm-hmm. Somebody that is fun to have conversation with and just wants to share with me every day, like the little moments and the big moments too. But, I've been in a relationship where, you know, somebody just comes in and turns on the TV. I'm like, really? That's what we're going to do tonight. And I just wanted someone who would want to talk and be connected. I'm an introvert. So I don't need to have a lot of conversation to be connected to somebody, but to just that presence is a big deal.
I love what you just said about the introvert part. Because so many times opposites seem, you know, the saying says opposites attract. And I always say they attract, but then they find themselves in conflict often yes. once yes. they actually get into a relationship. It's so interesting to me when I work with people who are so much more alike in their personalities.
Yeah. Know? And, you know, this was something that came to light very early on in my conversations with my husband as we were dating. He mentioned something about, there's a book that's been written for introverts, and he just mentioned that in passing. And I said, are you by any chance an introvert? And he said, oh yeah. Yeah. You know, and that, I think that has been a big piece of our relationship being successful, because our energy level is matched when it comes to going out and socializing. We went to an event this past weekend with a bunch of people, and both of us, you know, a couple hours in, we thought, can we be done yeah. now? Like we're over this. Yeah. And when we, you know, when we go into parties or big rooms, we have our way of socializing, interacting, mm-hmm. and it's very aligned. It's not like he's out there being the life of the party and I'm over there in the corner. Like we're both kind of over there in the corner together, and we'll get into one-on-one conversations with other couples. So there is a lot. I think that's a really good point that you're making, Debbie. There's a lot of alignment in our personality styles.
When I think about, for me, answering this question, like what was I really looking for in a partner? I really wanted somebody who understands me. And I think being aligned in this way is hugely important. My husband, Jeff, is an introvert and I'm right on the line. Like when I test, I'm like 3% over the line into extroversion. And so of course my clients get a lot of that part of me. So at the end of the day, my battery pack is completely drained. And this time around in my marriage, I'm married to someone who totally gets that. He's more of an introvert than me. So he needs his alone time. He totally understands me needing my alone time. My previous husband could never get enough conversation from me. So at the end of a long day of talking and listening to people, it was almost like it was a bit of a competition. You've given everybody the best part of you, Debbie. Now yeah. I need you. And I don't want the TV on. I don't want the radio on. I don't want you to read a book. I just want to talk. And it was so exhausting, but I could never understand why. I mean, I felt guilty, right? So this time around, being married to someone who's so aligned with me, it's like they get me because we're so much more similar in that way.
Yeah, I think that's a really important observation.
As we wrap up, you know, you've talked so much about what high ticket means to you and how you've embodied that. If you could give women like just one way that you embody this whole concept of high ticket or one piece of wisdom about themselves or about relationships, what would that be?
I think that it's all about the small steps. So pay attention to what impact did you have today? Whose life did you touch in some small way? You know, did you say hi to someone in the grocery store line? Did you talk to somebody that maybe like, you know, the janitors who clean up at the school events, did you say thank you to them? So just pay attention to the ways big and small that you're impacting others in your life. And that helps to increase that sense of value that, hey, I'm making a contribution here in the world. I matter.
I think another huge part of that, and I really appreciate you sharing this because I know some of the listeners here, we can be so wrapped up in what we don't like about ourselves or we don't like about our lives, and we become so self-critical. And to do what you just said means we have to get out of our own heads.
Yeah.
We have to stop thinking about what we aren't, what we don't have, and start, you know, thinking about how am I showing up in my connections with other people? How am I giving the best of who I am to other people?
Yeah. And there's no room for self-criticism when we're thinking in that way, because it takes the, you know, I do a lot of public speaking and I used to get very nervous going up on stage, and I've heard over and over people say, well, focus on serving and you won't get nervous. It didn't help. and so what I have learned though, is when I practice speaking, I think about the impact. And so that is anchored by the time I get on stage now, that is anchored in my head that this is impactful. This is making a difference. And it's just about the message. And I think when we are just focused on, I'm making an impact. How do I want to show up today? We will get out of that. Yeah. Giving, we will get out of that headspace where we can be so hard on ourselves, and it's not helpful.
It's not, it completely gets in the way of every aspect of our lives. Sabrina, thank you so much for being here with me. Tell our listeners, if for those women out there who definitely need your services, how can they find you? What's their next step?
Our website is tapthepotential.com, and check out the Profit by Design podcast, because I'm there every week giving tips, tools, and strategies for designing a sustainably profitable business that gives you more time for what matters most to you in your life. We have a very vibrant community, and when you listen to the podcast, you can learn how to get involved in the community. And so the podcast, Profit by Design, and tapthepotential.com are the two best ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. I'm going to post all of that information in the description for today's episode. And don't forget, everybody, to subscribe to the High Ticket Woman podcast if you want to be notified of future episodes. So that's it for today. Sabrina, thank you again for doing this with me a second time. I'd love to have you be a guest on the show again at some point in the future. And thank you very
thank
much
you,
for
Debbie.
Being here.
Absolutely.
Okay, ladies, that's it for this week. I'll see you in next week's episode. Bye for now.
For more episodes, just go to debbiecaudle.com. And while you're there, get your free copy of my guide, 10-Step Relationship Rescue Roadmap.